I appreciated the message last Sunday, and yet I recognize in that message a certain call to a greater level of consecration, dedication. In fact, it was repeated numerous times to truly give our all, not just one particular area, but in every area, to surrender to the Word of God. It's all connected, amen. Amen. That being said, I want to say, please forgive me today because I have a long way to go to be like Jesus. But as we look to the Word of God today, at least we can head in that direction together more and more. And we will read about one particular individual in the Bible that perhaps is the ultimate example outside of Jesus Christ of truly yielding to the will and Word of God. Certainly one of many. But if you're not there yet, join the club. But make your commitment to take another step, amen, to be what the Lord has called us all to be. So Galatians chapter 6, verse number 17, the Apostle Paul is speaking, and he says, "From henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." I want to preach today the marks of the cross, the marks of the cross. Let's ask the Lord to speak to us right now. Lord Jesus, right now, I open my heart to you and seek an anointing so that your voice can speak through mine, so that your word can flow through whatever words you give me to share. And I pray in the name of Jesus that as we leave here in the next little bit, that somebody will be encouraged, that someone will believe you for the supernatural, that someone will believe you for a miracle even today. In the name of the Lord Jesus, let's one more time lift our voice and clap our hands or lift our arms and thank the Lord for his word, for his spirit. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. God bless you. You may be seated. Let's look again at the cross, and as you look right now, can I remind you that in the time of Jesus Christ, the cross was a symbol of torture, of a gruesome and horrible death, and yet that same symbol of torture is now the symbol of our faith in Jesus Christ. Isn't that peculiar? Maybe if Christianity had the symbol of a sword, you know, the word of God is the sword, or perhaps an olive branch or a dove, the peace that passes understanding. But no, the symbol of Christianity is the cross. That gruesome instrument of torture is the symbol of the faith that we have in our Savior. In this same chapter, the Apostle Paul said, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." One translation says that he said, "May I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified, and the world's interest in me has also died." Would you agree with me that as we continue to become more like Jesus, we boast not about the things that impress the world? In fact, the things that the world gets excited about, it, those things start to diminish in our view as we focus on the cross. The world has a standard and a symbol of excellence and success, and yet we are not embarrassed to say we do not look to the symbols of success in this world. We look to the cross. And we look to the cross because we are honest to admit that our religion is nothing but a form of godliness without any power if we remove the cross. Matthew 16, Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Christianity does not promise comfort. Christianity promises a cross. Christianity does not always come with convenience. Christianity comes with a cross. There is no guarantee that you will live a praying-free life or a trouble-free life, but there is a guarantee that your life will include a cross. And so the example that I point to today, and again, it's an example far above any example that I could be. I am striving and so are you, but look at 1 Corinthians 11 from the words of the great apostle Paul. He makes the statement, are all these others servants of Christ? Surely I'm a servant of Christ. And he says, I know I sound crazy, but I have even served him more than some others. You study this context, the apostle Paul's almost embarrassed because it sounds like he's boasting, but he's trying to make the point that he has made some sacrifices to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Look again at verse number 23. This is 1 Corinthians 11. He says, I have worked harder. I've been put in prison more often. I've been whipped times without number and faced death again and again. He gets a little bit more specific in verse 25. He says, three times I was beaten with rods and I was even stoned once. Three times I was shipwrecked and one time I spent the whole night and a day just drifting at sea. He said, I've been on long journeys and I've faced a lot of danger, even been robbed. He said, I've even had people that claim to be believers, but they actually hurt me. Verse number 27, he said, I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty and have often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. And then besides all this, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches. He said, who is weak without my feeling of weakness, who is led astray, and I do not burn with anger. He said, if I must boast, I would rather boast about the things that show how weak I am. Paul's Christianity was not noteworthy or significant because of his status on Facebook. His Christianity was powerful and life-changing because he bore the marks of the cross. There was evidence in his life that he had said, forget about what I want and forget about what even I need. I will just follow Jesus. I will take up my cross and I will follow in his steps, to the degree that it was even prophesied about him. Way back in Galatians, or in Acts chapter 9, we read Ananias receives a word about the future ministry of this great man of God. Anybody ever want a word from the Lord? Sure, we all do. Anybody excited when somebody says, I have a word for you? Well, look at the word for the apostle Paul. The Lord said to Ananias, you go give this word, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Whoa, give me a word, but be careful now. And yet that's why the apostle Paul was able to be used of God on such a dramatic level. He bore the marks of the own cross that was specific for his life and his walk with the Lord. That's why we read again in Galatians 6, from henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Now think of the context here for just a moment. In Galatians 6, we discover that there are some Christians that have come from the background of Judaism, and they want everybody to be circumcised. They want that mark to be upon the New Testament believers, and that was not the will of God. Really, baptism is the circumcision for New Testament Christians. It's the cutting away of the flesh. When we're baptized in water in Jesus' name, yes, when we repent, our sins are forgiven. But when we're baptized, our sins are washed away. They are separated from us. They are cut away from us. So circumcision doesn't mean anything. But there were some people that were starting to be kind of bold and in Paul's faith saying, man, you got to preach circumcision. You got to preach about the marks, Paul. The marks of Christianity. And Paul said, wait a minute. You want to talk about marks? You want to see where I was stoned? The mark's still there. You want to see where I was beat? The mark is still there. You want to see where they threw me in prison and left me for dead? He said, I still got the marks. It is in this context that he begins to discuss his relationship with the Lord and helps us to understand something that is so powerful is this. Our religion can never be a substitute for a transformed life. We may have aspects of our faith that identify us as apostolics or as Christians, and those marks are significant, but you can't just be a Christian in name only. You can't just have the look or the talk of a Jesus follower somewhere. You've got to have the marks of somebody that's denied themselves and taken up their cross and followed him. Because when we are truly changed by Jesus, we will bear in our body the marks. His marks were physical. Maybe in our case, we will never face stoning or imprisonment or beating, but there will be marks. There will be indicators that we are not living for ourselves. We are living for him. And perhaps you're like me here today and you cannot relate to shipwrecks and you cannot relate to prison or beatings or starvation. You cannot relate to all of these things. But Paul even mentions the mark of caring for others. The weariness that came when he simply tried to love those and lead those that he could into a greater revelation of truth. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 28 says this, then besides all this, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15, he said this. I think some of you can relate to this. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. In Galatians 4, he said, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? When we really take up our cross and genuinely care for our brother, it will mark us. When we become a people that do more than just talk about it, but we begin to live it and we begin to care for our neighbor, it will mark us. As we strive to truly care for a lost world, it will mark us. And when we reach the place where all of a sudden it's not about pleasing me, it's about pleasing him. It's not about living for self, it's about living for God. It will mark us. In fact, when Jesus was describing his love, he said there's no greater love than that a man would lay down his life. In that passage, the next verse says this, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. If you want to love me the way I love you, Jesus said, go ahead and take up that cross. Go ahead and submit your will to the will of the Word of God. And so here's a very personal question, a very private and intimate question. I don't want you to answer or blurt it out or raise your hand, but I have considered for myself, where are the marks of my cross? Where are those symbols in my life, those indicators that I'm truly seeking the will of God more than my own desires? Can God trust us enough to know that we will take up our cross? Sometimes we focus on every way that God blesses us, as though his blessings are a sign of how spiritual we are. You can be used in the gifts of the Spirit and not be close to God, because God honors faith. In fact, you can be blessed with a good job and great health and not honor God, because God honors faith. And so there's got to be an indication in our life that it's more than just the good things he does for me. It's even the sacrifices I make for him, not just in trying to be like you or impress you, but to truly be like Jesus in a very personal and intimate way to respond to his call on a regular basis. Think about the word trials for just a moment. Because it's in the way we challenge trials that we take up our cross. But think about this. If a youngster comes up to mom or dad and says, I gotta have that video game. And dad says, no, sorry, we're busted, we're broke. We're budgeted, but our video game budget is out until Christmas. You know, if that child has enough Bible knowledge, they can walk away from that experience and say, oh, what a trial! I'm taking up my cross. When in reality, I don't know how much that's honoring God. Unless that youngster can have a Christ-like attitude when they don't get what they want. And see, we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And sometimes we think we're taking up our cross because we don't get that promotion, but you know you're only taking up your cross if you got the right response to not getting that promotion. Sometimes we think we're taking up our cross because of the sickness in our body, and yet there is a way to take up the cross that says, even through this sickness, I will honor Jesus, and I will serve him, and I will please him, and I will bear the marks of the cross in my life. You say, in Jesus' name? I came across this writing entitled, Others May, You Cannot. I've held on to it for several months. I didn't really want to preach it, but today is the day. Now, I cut a lot out of it. I haven't changed the wording, but I have edited it to make it a little bit shorter and not near as painful. But it's still pretty rough. But a great Christian scholar wrote these words, and I have meditated on these words and wondered, Lord, will you ever help me get to that place that I have taken up my cross? He says, if God has called you to be really like Christ in all your spirit, he will draw you into a life of crucifixion and humility and put on you such demands of obedience that in many ways he will seem to let other good people do things which he will not let you do. The marks of the cross. Others can brag on themselves and their success, but the Holy Spirit will not allow you to do such a thing. And if you begin it, he will lead you into some deep mortification that you will begin to despise yourself and all your good works. The Lord will let others be honored and put forward and keep you hid away in obscurity. Others will be allowed to succeed in making money, but it is likely that God will keep you poor because he wants you to have something far better than gold, and that is a helpless dependence on him, that he may have the privilege of supplying your needs day by day. Again, and I referenced last week's great message, that doesn't mean because I'm a poor steward, I'm poor, that means I'm taking up my cross, but think about it. I met a man this week that in his church, he was the one responsible for teaching financial stewardship to all of the other people in the church. And a little over a year ago, the Lord said, I want you to sell everything and I want you to be a missionary. And now he exists on the goodwill of people like us. He's not a poor steward, but he is poor. It's the marks of his cross. I met another man that in his early 20s, just this week I talked to him. He said he was in his early 20s and the Lord challenged him to start a business. And within just a short time, that business really grew and it exploded. And in fact, even in his early 20s, he was making a six-figure income. After 3 years, God said, now I want you to sell that business. And I want you to give your life to preaching the gospel. Isn't that amazing? It's the marks of the cross. This writer goes on to say, God will let others be great, but he will keep you small. He will let others do a great work for him and get credit for it, but he will make you work and toil on without knowing how much you are doing. And then to make your work still more precious, he will let others get the credit for the work you have done. And this will make your reward 10 times greater when he comes. The marks of the cross. It's getting kind of personal for somebody in here right now. Because God is trying to get a word for you that just because you have surrendered and sacrificed and now there is suffering doesn't mean you have stepped out of his will. It just means it's the marks of the cross for you. So don't compare yourself to somebody else. Just make up your mind. I have started out with Jesus and I'm going to stay linked up to him, and others may not understand me and others may criticize me, but I will take up my cross. I will follow him. Just a few more notes from this great reading. It says, the Holy Spirit will put strict watch over you with a jealous love and will rebuke you for little words and feelings or for wasting your time, which other Christians never seem distressed over. So make up your mind that God is an infinite sovereign and has the right to do what he pleases with his own. And he will not explain to you 1,000 things that may puzzle you in his dealings with you. He will wrap you up in a jealous love and let other people say and do many things that you cannot do or say. He will trust you with that kind of lifestyle because he knows that you are willing to bear the marks of the cross. I wonder if you would raise your hands and in your own way, you would say, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Is there anybody that would say, Lord, I'm not sure I'm there yet. I'm no Apostle Paul, and I'm not sure I can relate to some of the things that other people have to do and other ways that other people have to sacrifice. But God, as you speak to me, not my will, but thine be done. Oh, if you feel that way, would you just worship the Lord with me right now for just a few moments? I don't want to say that's the bad news, but here's better news. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers with Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad with exceeding joy. If any man suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. I'm not talking about suffering on the job because you've done a horrible job, but if you've been godly and somehow you are persecuted, there is a reason to rejoice because you bear the marks of the cross. And if you will serve Jesus with a passion to please Jesus, he will reign in your life with glory. James said it this way, dear brothers and sisters, when trouble comes your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. I appreciate so much the reality that some of the worst things that have happened to me I have done to myself. But there are other things that have come my way just as an opportunity for the Lord to say, will you bear the marks of the cross? It's personal and private. I'm not even sure it would do any good to share some of my story, but right now you're thinking about your story, And I want somebody to hear the word of God today. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Yes, there are times when we are troubled on every side, and yet we are not distressed. It's just the marks of the cross. We are perplexed, but we are not in despair. We have just taken up our cross. We are persecuted, but we are not forsaken. We are cast down, but not destroyed. There may be times when we pray for you that it's not a lack of faith. It's more to do with the divine providence of the Lord working in your life. And so let us all agree that we are always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our bodies. We believe in the supernatural. We believe in divine healing. We believe in the miraculous. But there are other times that we must just agree. I believe in the marks of the cross. He hasn't answered my prayer the way I thought he would answer my prayer. But I'm going to keep believing. I'm going to keep trusting. I'm going to keep serving. I'm going to keep. Why? Because I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. There's a dying out to this flesh that Jesus might live in me. Praise the name of the Lord. For this cause, we faint not. Amen. We don't stop coming to church. We don't stop being faithful with our giving. We're still worshiping and witnessing and inviting everybody we can. For this cause, we faint not. But though our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. I may be a Christian, but there's still some affliction. But in comparison to glory, I acknowledge that the marks of my cross are but a light affliction, which is but for a moment. And it worketh in us a far more exceeding and eternal a weight of glory. So I'm not going to look at the things which are seen. I'm going to look at the things which are not seen. I'm not going to look at the temporary. I'm going to look at the eternal, and I'm going to bear the marks of the cross. Praise God. I'm reaching specifically right now for someone that's in an honest to goodness trial, for someone that clearly is carrying a cross. Now I'm preaching for somebody right now that people can see the marks of your commitment, of your sacrifice. And I say to you, God will reveal his glory in you. God will reveal his glory through you. Don't let the struggle discourage you. Don't let the trial defeat you. Don't let the cross confuse you. The marks of the cross are not a testimony to your defeat. They're a testimony of the victory that is to come. If you will continue on your journey, not my will, but thine be done. As the musicians come, would you raise your hands and say, preacher, you don't realize it, but you're preaching to me right now. I've got a cross that nobody in this building knows about. And I've been worrisome. I've been frustrated. I've been confused because I have prayed and I have fasted. And I don't see God working. But I trust in his word today. And this mark of my life is not a testimony that I'm defeated. It's a testimony that I will be victorious. So I will not give up. Because the marks of my cross are the evidence of my miracle. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. I'm learning to live, not my will, but thine be done. I'm learning to be like Jesus. And it seems like the lessons are much more clear when I go through struggle than when I'm on the mountaintop of victory. It seems like there are wonderful victories and wonderful miracles, but I learn so much more when I get another mark another bruise, another scar. And I just make up my mind, I will follow you, Jesus. I will follow you, Jesus. I preach something right now that some of you have journeyed much further along than I have. You have faced things that I will never face. But I beg you to receive the word of God right now. Those marks are not a testimony to your failure. Those marks are not a testimony that God has left you. Those marks are a symbol to all of us that we must take up our cross and follow Jesus. Can you say amen? This living for Jesus, it's not that easy, is it? In fact, Brother Paul, it's leaving a mark on you. Brother Kenny, you've seen some miracles, but you've got some other prayer requests that haven't been answered, and it's leaving a mark on you. There's something about being a Christian that's going to leave its mark. It's the marks of the cross. We high five, we hug, man, when everything's going great, but let's be honest. Sometimes we put that suit on and it's covering another place where we were beat, another place where we were bruised. And it's in that moment that we come and rejoice, we shout and we dance, but we're looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Because there was something about him that because of the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He endured those marks. The garden where he groaned until he sweat, as it were, drops of blood. The marks of his cross. And then the thorns that they crushed upon his brow. The blood began to flow, the marks of the cross, the nails in his hands, and then his feet, and the spear that ripped through his side, the marks of the cross. But here is the thing that I was reminded of this very week that is a word for somebody in this place today. If you fast forward through the resurrection and his disciples. Remember, they're all in this room. And Jesus just shows up. He didn't use the door either. He just right through the wall. Remember Thomas? Thomas was the one that said, I don't believe it. I don't believe he's alive. And Jesus said, Thomas, go ahead, put your hand right here. You see that mark? Put your hand right there. Come on, Thomas. You see that mark there? That's where the spear. Put your hand right there. You know what I think is awesome about that? Even though he still had the marks, he was glorified. He was resurrected. He overcame death, hell, and the grave. And he still had the marks to prove it. I'm saying what you're going through right now, what you're going through right now, the devil's lied to you and say, see that mark on you? That's proof you'll never be what God wants you to be. You see that mark in your life? That's proof you'll never be all that God has called you to be. But Jesus was glorified, marks and all. Jesus was raised up, and he still had the marks of all of the betrayal and the beating and the scourging and the crucifying. And someone here today is going to come to this altar in just a few moments, and you've got your body spiritually is all marked up. But I want you to know those marks are not going to keep you from a resurrection. Those marks are not going to keep you from the Lord getting glory out of your life and out of your family. If you can just go to the cross with an attitude that says, not my will, but thine be done, there will be a miracle in your family. There will be a miracle in your ministry. There will be a miracle in your life. Those marks are proof that God's not finished with you yet. Would you stand and raise your hands right now and embrace the call of God that's here? Embrace the call to the cross that's here. Embrace the promise of the glory that shall be revealed. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you could just bow your heads with me for just a moment and close your eyes. If you are here today and you have never repented of your sins, or if it's been a long time since you have repented of your sins, you need to take up the cross today. You need to come when everybody comes in just a moment and repent. If you are here today and you have never been baptized, or you were baptized when you were so small it didn't make a difference or matter to you, no how. Or when you were baptized, you were not baptized in the name of Jesus. You need to take up your cross today. Don't ignore that part of the Bible. Don't ignore that part of the Bible. Baptism is not just a religious ritual, and some churches do it, some churches don't. Some do it this way, and some do it another way. No, baptism is a part of identifying with the cross, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. If you are here today and you have never received the Holy Ghost speaking with other tongues, you need to take up your cross. And as we come to the altar in just a few moments, you need to come and repent again and say, Jesus, fill me with the Holy Ghost. And then begin to worship Him with all your heart, even with your mouth, and yield to His Spirit until it takes over your prayer. And if you are here today and you can see those marks that nobody else in the building can see, you can feel those bruises that nobody else knows about, you have taken up your cross, but it seems like you're beat down and you're bloodied. When we come to the altar together, you need to come and say, Jesus, these marks are not a testimony to my defeat. These marks are a reminder that I will be glorified, that I will become like you, that I will have a resurrection in my life. In Jesus' name, would you begin to come, whoever you are, would you begin to come, wherever you're coming from, would you begin to come and say, I want what Jesus has for me right now. I want what Jesus has for me right now. Come on, Jesus wants to encourage somebody that's struggling today. Jesus wants to lift up somebody who's looking down today. Jesus wants to reach for someone that's bearing in their body the marks of having taken up your cross. A lifestyle that makes you different than everybody else around your workplace, but you've taken up your cross. A lifestyle that even causes some of your family to look at you as though you're crazy. You've taken up your cross. And the Lord wants to give you strength today. Come on, a miracle that you prayed for, but it still hasn't happened. How about a situation that's taken place in your life and you are determined to respond in a manner that pleases Jesus? Come on, those are the marks I'm preaching about right now. Those are the marks we're praying for right now. Would you lift your voice to the Lord? Would you lift your heart to the Lord? Would you lift your hands to the Lord? And would you say, I bear in my body the marks of someone that's taken up the cross, but I will not quit. I will not give up. I will not doubt. I will see the glory of God.